This morning, we're going to kick off our new stewardship sermon series. And I'm excited that I get to start it off this morning talking about how we are to manage God's gifts that He has blessed us with. Now, when you hear that word stewardship, you may think, well, that's one of those churchy words. And sometimes, honestly, people cringe when they hear that we're moving into a stewardship series. And Dave Ramsey always says that a lot of people grab their wallets when it comes to a stewardship series because they assume that either we're going to ask you for more money or maybe we're moving into some a building campaign. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there is so much more to the concept of stewardship. It is not just money. And those of you who have gone through Financial Peace University, and if you have not gone through that class, we as a church encourage you to do that. I don't know of a better Christian-based money class out there than Financial Peace University. And we're going to be offering that again this fall, and we're going to have a lot more details to follow on that. But those of you who have gone through Financial Peace University, we discuss stewardship. Now, the word steward actually does not have a Christian origin at all. It's an old English term that simply means one who manages another's affairs. So if we go back to even the medieval times, the world was a much different place. And you're probably thinking about knights and shining armor and princesses and towers of castles. You get the idea. But in that time in history, there were realms, and a realm was a geographical area, and within each realm, there was a castle, and inside the castle lived the Lord. Now, that's Lord with a small L, not a big L, and he was Lord of the realm. That's the guy who owned everything. He owned the land, the farm ground, the buildings, even all the businesses, everything. And he, of course, lived in the nicest and the biggest castle within the realm. Now, usually, there was very close to the castle another large estate that was almost as nice as the Lord's. And this is where the Lord's steward lived. And the steward was the person who actually managed all of the Lord's, and again, Lord with a small L, all of the Lord's assets. The steward managed the crop rotations, the labor, the taxes, the banking, even the marketplace, everything. He didn't own anything, but he was responsible for it all because the Lord, small L, had entrusted him with it. So when the King James translators were working on the very first English version of the Bible in 1611, they got to this point where it talks about God owns everything and our role as managers. And when they got to that point, they immediately understood that concept because they knew what a steward was because of the times. And that's why the word steward appears in the King James Bible. It was a very common and easily understood term that immediately emphasized management, not ownership. You know, if we were to go to Luke 12, 42 through 44, that's one of the passages where it talks about being a steward. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he uses stewardship as an example. Christ says, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager or the steward whom the master puts in charge of his own servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of many possessions." You see, folks, we are the stewards. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's, now we're to the big L, Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That means God is the owner. It's all His. It's not a tenth with our tithe. It's not our leftovers. It's not our spare change. God owns everything. And I think when we get that concept, we better understand the idea of stewardship. We are the asset managers for the Lord, doing what God tells us to do with what He has entrusted us with. And as a steward, we can graciously receive what God allows us to have. We can enjoy the use of it, and we can bless others because we have that within us. Well, let's go to our sermon text this morning. We're going to be going to Genesis chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, we encourage you to find one in the chair in front of you. And, of course, if you do not own a Bible, take that. That's yours. Take it home and please use it. Now, as we're looking at Genesis chapter 2, you may be saying, I've already got notes in my Bible this year from chapter 2. And Donnie preached on this chapter earlier in the year. Well, and you're right. Donnie used the first three verses of chapter 2 when he talked about God at rest. And then he finished out the chapter during the Domino Effect series. But we're going to concentrate this morning on what is sandwiched between those two sections in verses 4 through 20. So, Genesis chapter 2, 4 through 20. Follow along if you would. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, and the trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon, and it winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land was good. Aromatic resin and onyx were also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon, and it winds through the entire land of Cush. The land of the third river is the Tigris, and it runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. Now, you're probably saying from that Genesis chapter 1 has already talked about the creation of everything. In fact, we were to the point that God was resting. So why are we back to creation again in chapter 2? Well, you see, we're moving from a very panoramic view of creation to a very specific, concentrated view of the garden. So obviously God wanted to give us just a few more details about the garden. So we're getting in chapter 2, kind of the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And from this passage in chapter 2, I can see all kinds of examples of how God calls Adam and also how God calls us to be good stewards of what we are blessed with. So our major point this morning is understanding that we are to be good stewards of God's blessings. We are to be good stewards of God's blessings. And there's three things from this passage this morning as it relates to our stewardship. First of all, God's gifts are blessings. Anything that God has entrusted to us is a blessing. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Absolutely. And be thinking about how you are blessed. When I was putting the sermon together, I couldn't help but think of that beautiful hymn that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. You know, this morning, if we don't have a roof over our heads, if we don't know where our next meal is coming from, we are blessed. If we have absolutely nothing or own nothing, we are blessed. Made me think of the Apostle Paul. Paul had nothing. In fact, in Philippians 4:11, Paul writes that he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And then in Philippians 4:4, in writing from the prison in Rome, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice." Paul, with nothing, understood that he was blessed. And as I was putting this sermon together for this morning, I really struggled on where I was going to land when it comes to our blessings, because we are so blessed in so many different ways. You know, on this Father's Day, I could have talked about family blessings. We could talk about our financial blessings, good health, friends, food, freedoms that we have in this country, and my list just kept getting bigger and bigger. But let's look today how Adam was blessed. Verse 8 tells us that God planted a garden. Well, if God planted a garden, we cannot imagine the beauty and the majesty of that place. And verse 9 then says that God created all kinds of trees, and they were pleasing to the eye, and they were good for food. You know, I have a feeling that if Scripture tells us that something is pleasing to the eye, it must have been incredible. Can you imagine the emotions that Adam would have had looking at that beauty and also being in the presence of God and having God meet his needs? Eden was definitely a very special place. You know, artists for hundreds of years have tried to communicate through paintings what that perfection must have looked like, and absolutely none can compare, because we can't imagine perfection. Can you imagine? No sin, there's no disease, just a perfect place for man and God to dwell together. And then as you look at these pictures on the screen, because there are some beautiful places in this world, and those pictures, those places are located in a world that's full of sin. And think how beautiful they are. Now think how much more beautiful the garden must have been where there was no sin. So there's no question this morning that God blessed Adam. And Adam was to be a good steward of what he was blessed with. So how can we compare the blessings of Adam to our blessings today? I'm going to make this next comment twice, because I truly believe that everything in the Old Testament points us directly to the cross. Everything in the Old Testament points us directly to the cross. So while we don't live in the perfection that Adam did, we live in God's redemption. And just as God provided for Adam, God provides for us. And as God dwelled with Adam, God indwells within us. We are blessed this morning that as Christ followers, that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I love the scriptures talking about the Holy Spirit. John 14:15 through 17 says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." John 14:26 says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you of all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And also in John 16:7-8 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away, because unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." Acts chapter 2, Peter talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we look at how we are blessed in so many ways, as we look at the blessing that Adam had with God living with him, our true blessing this morning is the fact that God lives within us, the Holy Spirit. So how can we be good stewards of the Holy Spirit? If this is an important gift that God's given us, how can we treat it? Well, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we as Christ followers are given spiritual gifts. And we have to be good stewards of those gifts. And spiritual gifts are the divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. See, your spiritual gift isn't necessarily for you, but it's to you so that you can bless others. And we are blessed with the Holy Spirit, given spiritual gifts so we can bless others. Isn't that awesome? That God lives and dwells within us. And each one of us are expected to make a kingdom difference by using what we have been blessed with, being a good steward of that gift. Now, I know Donnie, in a previous sermon, did an outstanding job of talking about spiritual gifts and the three types of spiritual gifts. And I truly believe it's important that we follow 1 Corinthians 12:1 that says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed." We are told that we should know what the spiritual gifts are. And I'm going to go through these real fast, but if you are blessed with these gifts, we need to know all that we can about it. First of all are the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these talk about the supernatural gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. To some believers, he may give the gift of healing or speaking in tongues or the gift of interpretation. And then the second set, the ministry gifts, which come out of Ephesians chapter 4, talk about ministry gifts. Those are the gifts of people who are called out to lead and train others in the body of Christ. If you've ever heard anyone talk about they felt called to the ministry, well, that's a ministry gift. And then the third are the motivational gifts. And these come out of Romans chapter 12. These are the grace gifts given to every believer intended for use to build up the body of Christ. Every believer has at least one of the motivational gifts of the Holy Spirit when accepting Christ as Savior. Now, you may say, we all have talents and we have those abilities, and that's true, but Scripture is very clear that we receive a gift when we accept the Holy Spirit. And I just did a quick list there of those seven. Everybody in this room who's accepted Christ falls into one, at least one of these categories. You're either a server or a teacher. You have the gift of administration. You have the gift of mercy or being a perceiver, a giver, or an exhorter. And I wish I had more time that we could dissect each one of those. But we as a church actually offer a class that goes through these seven gifts. And it's always during the winter term. It's called Blueprint for Life during our education hour. And we would encourage, if you have questions about what your gifts are in the Holy Spirit, to make sure that you sign up for that class. So hopefully at this point, we're all in agreement that we are blessed. And we're blessed by having the Holy Spirit live within us and that we need to be good stewards of that. The second point I see from our passage this morning comes from verse 15. It said, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Adam had to work. And then in verse 19, God gives Adam his work assignment. God brings him all the animals and tells him to start naming them. You see, Adam was blessed to be where he was at, but those blessings came with work. Adam didn't get to sit in a hammock in the garden, sipping lemonade all day. Probably a lot of our grandmothers, remember, always told us that idle hands are what? The devil's workshop, absolutely. And I think our grandmothers are probably reading 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that says, if a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat. But Adam was expected to use what God had blessed him with, which leads us to our next point. God's gifts come with the responsibility to be used. God's gifts come with the responsibility to be used. I can't think of another passage of Scripture that puts it any more clearly than the very familiar passage of the parable of the talents. Now, I find it interesting that a talent in that parable isn't necessarily what we think of as a talent. like an ability to do something well. But a talent in this passage refers to a monetary unit. And what's significant about this, a talent could have been up to 20 years of a laborer's wages. So probably when people were hearing this, if you heard something that talked about 20 years of your wages, you would be listening. But I find it interesting that they are called talents. This week I was talking to Cindy in the office, and I told her I wanted to use this, and I said, I can't find a better way to paraphrase it, because Scripture is so pure. So I'm just going to read this out of Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For it's just like a man about to go out on a journey, and he called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them, which makes them a steward. And to the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey, and immediately the one who'd received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. And in the same manner, the one who'd received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and he settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, so I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there are weeping and gnashing of teeth. All I can say after that is wow. Could it be any clearer that we definitely have responsibilities to be good stewards with what God has blessed us with? We are commanded, not suggested, commanded, to use our gifts from the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, not to neglect the spiritual gifts that are within us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And as I mentioned, we all have at least one of those spiritual gifts. But the question this morning is, are we using it? You see, coming to church on Sunday mornings, that's not it. That's not using our spiritual gift. We need to exercise and use the gifts that we are to be good stewards of. I was talking to Donnie before they left for Dallas on the trip, and we were talking about the blessings that God gives us and being a good steward. And of course, lots of times when Donnie and I get together and talk, many times it leads to illustrations about golf. So we started talking about blessings, comparing them to golf clubs. Now, I know this is a stretch for some, but if you're a golfer, you're going to get this. It works. But what if I go to a pro shop and I buy Donnie a $1,500 set of the most beautiful Callaway golf clubs a person can buy? And he takes them home. Not that it's going to happen, but he takes them home, and there he is cleaning them up, and he polishes them, and he sets them in the corner to admire, but yet he never takes them out on the golf course. they are not being used for the purpose that they were created for. The makers of Callaway golf clubs don't expect us to put golf clubs in the corner of our garages, but we need to use them. And if Donnie doesn't use them because he's afraid, well, they might get a little dirty or they might get a nick or scratch, then those golf clubs are useless. Because you see, to a golfer, the nicks and scratches, well, they're necessary. It shows that we practice. It shows that they have been used. And we've learned to overcome obstacles by maybe playing out of the woods or on a cart path or in the gravel or in some cases, like this next picture, out of the playground at the Samaritan Well.
Play where you can play.
And with a swing like that, I think I'd go back to football, Donnie Case. But let's remember that we are to use our blessings, our gifts, not just to put them away in a corner. So how do we use our blessings? We as a church, we encourage people in your responsibilities of using your spiritual gifts. One of the most rewarding aspects of my position here is getting to work with people in determining what your spiritual gifts are and plugging you into an area of ministry in which you can use that gift, in which it'll blossom. And I'm extending an open invitation to anyone that wants to come in or have me come to you and talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how you can use those for kingdom work. But not only that, most of you get our emails from the church office. And when we have a need, we don't hesitate to put that need out there and ask for help. And we thank you for those who faithfully respond to those emails. An example, about a week and a half ago, we had a funeral dinner that was very short notice for our church to put together. And within hours of asking people, "We need your help," we had a dinner ready. We had some wonderful volunteers that said they would come down, and we were able to minister to a hurting family with very, very short notice, and we thank you for that. We also have an excellent opportunity coming up on June 23rd with Mission Macomb. That ministry was created to help meet needs in our community, and we can use anyone and everyone to do that. I was thinking this weekend, you know, there's one day I believe we're going to be working at the campus house, and maybe you're not able to lift those big air conditioner units out, but maybe you can stand there with a hose and help clean those. And maybe if that's something that you can't do, maybe you can come down and help prepare meals for the workers. And if not that, maybe you're blessed financially so that you could write a check to cover the expenses for the week. And maybe not even that, maybe you're a prayer warrior. And you can be at home praying for those that are out working during Mission Macomb this week. You see, God gives us all opportunities to serve and to use our talents and to bless others as we have been blessed. But I do want to throw this in. God sets parameters and boundaries with our blessings. Let's look at verse 16. God commanded, didn't suggest, to the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Even with Adam, in the perfection of the garden before the fall, he had boundaries of what he could do with those blessings. And just like God gives parameters with our blessings. You see, food is a blessing, but we're called not to be gluttons. Sex is a blessing, but only within the sanctity of marriage. Money is a blessing, but only when we're good stewards. Like Adam, God tells us what we can and cannot do with our blessings and our stewardship. Okay, this morning we've seen that we're blessed, and those come with responsibility. The final point is that God supplies all that we need to use our gifts. Let's look at verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone, so I will make a helper suitable for him." In this case, God provided Adam with what he needed at the time in his life. And in the story, we read that was a helper. And I know a lot of people use that scripture to say, "Wow, I'm not married, and maybe I should be married." And that's not what scripture's saying there. What it's saying is that God met Adam's needs, just as God meets our needs today. God gives us the means to be a good steward. I ask you this morning to be thinking about how you are blessed. What talents and abilities has God given specifically to you. Now, how can you be a good steward of those? And what do you need to share in those blessings? Well, God gives you those tools. I love these two scriptures. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And John 14:13 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You see, God will give us the abilities. He'll give us the wisdom. He gives us the perseverance to be a good steward if we will trust in him and ask him to give us those abilities. We can't be a good steward on our own. God has to give us the tools that we need. So folks, what's our takeaway from this morning? And I think it's very simple. I think we've shown that Adam was blessed and he was expected to be a good steward. And we agree that we are blessed. And we need to be good stewards. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to share that with all that we come in contact with as we are being good stewards. My prayer is that we would all hear these words that we read from Matthew today. That we would hear, "Well done, good and faithful steward. You were faithful with a few things, so I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Isn't that beautiful? Amen.